Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
And hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And hello, this is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
And this is Jordan from Federal Way, Washington.
Time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee and join us in Mark 13. And we just read 1 through, what's the context? 1 through
27.
1 through 27. We didn't finish on it, so we're going to finish on this.
Set your mind
on the things above,
on the things above,
and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with Him in glory. Set your mind
on the things above,
and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
So where did we leave off? Did you have something that you were going to say, Andy, at the end of the last one?
Oh, yeah. In Matthew chapter 24, it had a woe in there, or like Gil was saying, it's a breathe. It's not like just woe. It's something that's very hard. And in Mark also, it had a woe. And they were both the same. And it says, to woe to those with child, and to those giving suck in those days. That's in Mark. And in Matthew, let me read that one to you again. That's in Matthew 24:19. But woe to those with child and to those giving suck in those days. Same words.
A woe is like when you see something that is so disturbing that you don't have words for it. I don't have any words for it. It's just, it's a gas. It's a
in your chest. Yeah,
yeah, it's breathing out in a way like you'd see a horror movie or something like that. That you're seeing a horror, something that's horrible to you. Then there's another do not. We found out there were four do nots so far. Don't do. And there are going to be 5 do's, things that we are supposed to do. Then the next do not is don't believe when people tell you that this person that has come is the Christ when it's actually the Antichrist. The churches are teaching this backwards. Yoo-hoo. Listen, go read Matthew 24 and Mark 13 now. and tell me if they're saying this right, because the Antichrist is going to come first. The churches are setting up for people to worship the Antichrist. You are kidding me. Who's not reading their Bibles, you ministers?
Well, not to go back too far, but in verse 5, Jesus starts all this information off with, "See to it that no one deceives you." So it's put on you, or it's put on me, not to be deceived. And the best way to do that is to read your Bible.
Please read your Bible. Start with Matthew and get to understand Matthew. It'll build up to 24 because that's the, you know, getting towards the end, only 28 chapters. And he's really building up to all the things that people need to know. And this last thing is the Antichrist is not the, it's the against Christ, but he is going to try to disguise himself to be the Christ. He's going to probably be a sweet talker. He's probably going to be good looking, but he's actually going to stink the place up to a person that knows the Bible. It'll probably not be visible to a person that doesn't know the Bible, but if you know the Bible, I think that's the only way, and if you, and through the Spirit, you are going to realize he is a bad, very bad smell. Something doesn't smell right. You ever heard that expression? It's not going to smell right to your good senses if you know the Bible. It just will not smell right.
Now in verse 6, it says, "Many will come in my name, saying, I am, and lead many astray." And so if you just read that verse, you'd think it'd just be some talking going on. But if you go over here and look a little bit later in verse 22 of chapter 13, it says, "False Christ shall arise and false prophets, and they will show signs and wonders." So this is just going to be words. It's going to be signs and wonders.
Keep reading.
"To deceive even the elect, if possible. Beware, I have told you all things beforehand." So there's going to be signs and wonders done by false Christ and false prophets, and it's not just saying something.
It could be a good-looking dude
doing things.
Yeah. There's one minister that is, it's a huge church. Oh, by the way, when people were suffering in Houston because of the flood, this horrendous flood came through town, they didn't invite anybody into the church for shelter to take care of them at first. They had to be shamed at first because it's a very rich, affluent group that goes there, and the minister's pretty. But I kind of noticed kind of a starry look in his eyes, like he's kind of in another world. It's a strange look he has on his face too. But look at what they do. They did not invite anybody in there for shelter. What? You know, in the 1950s, you could go into any town. The church is always unlocked. When there is a disaster, your car breaks down, you could always find shelter. Let's say a winter, especially winter day, you could find shelter in the church. I could walk into the Lutheran church in our town. It was a Lutheran town. It was a Danish town in California. You could walk into that church. I could, as a little kid, walk in there. And I could go into the storeroom behind it. And it was just, nobody would do any, there was no vandalism back then. You know, people weren't, they were more respectful back at that time. But now all the churches are locked. And it's, I don't blame them to a degree. But where's the shelter that they're supposed to be? So, but here you have a modern day, and it was obvious these people needed shelter, thousands needed shelter. And here's this big, beautiful, nice, warm building, and nobody's invited into it. And it says you'll know them by their works. And so don't let anybody lead you astray. They will be Christ-like. How many people that we've walked through the Bible with were turned away by Jesus when they needed help? How many? 100? 10? Not even one turned away, was there?
No.
And how long did it take for Jesus to help them when they called out to him?
It was immediately.
He might have talked to him first for a reason.
Well, that was beginning the helping.
Yeah, because he was talking to their mind. That, in other words, you understand what's going to happen to you now. You read all these stories, but he immediately started to help them. And sometimes it was talking, and then when they really understood what was going on, they're healed. And then they realized that maybe they'd never seen before in their life. They'd never walked before in their life. Everyone, not one, was neglected.
Mm-hmm.
We recently read in Mark 10 about the man who was blind, and he called for Jesus, and they tried to say, hey, you know, don't give him any trouble. And then Jesus called him, and he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And he gave him his sight back. I was reading through here. I had notes in my Bible from before. I had taken notes in Matthew 24, and I saw it here, that Jesus gave two instructions right up front. One of them was, see to it that no one misleads you. And how are you going to know that? Jesus goes again and again, and he tells people, when the Pharisees came and asked him for a sign, they're always looking for something to be impressed with. But the song we sang earlier says, these words should be in your heart. You're expected to know God's truth.
And your mind.
And your mind.
And your soul.
There's a whole list. Those are the things that we should be doing.
And it says, in all of your heart, not just 90%, especially not 10%, but not 90%, not even 99%. In, what does all mean?
All.
Not one part missing. And so these words are going to be in all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind.
And I also noticed here that the purpose of the signs and wonders is not to help people. It's to lead astray. Take note of that.
Yeah. What's the result? You know, it's not to worship a man, it's to heal. And isn't it interesting? God is interested in our sight, what things we look at. Did you catch in the daily reading that Job made a covenant with his eyes to not look at another woman except for his wife?
I read that.
He made a covenant with his eyes. So our hands, our eyes, our heart, and out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you're, believe me, you're not going to cuss anymore if God's words are in your heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's one of the first things that I was convicted, even before I was baptized. When I went to go get help, I thought myself being the chief sinner. I think I did everything. I probably wasn't as bad as I thought compared, but I didn't even worry about other people. It was just me that I knew was messed up. And so I wasn't even thinking of the comparison thing and then, oh, but I'm better or whatever. That didn't bother me. I just knew it was me was messed up. So I needed to take care of these things, and my mouth was one thing I wanted to be very careful of. It didn't mean the whole rest was healed. I still think that there's things that God leaves with us so we don't become too arrogant, that we still have to fight. I think I'm going to be fighting my flesh till the day I go home. I don't know what you guys think, but...
I think so, too. You know, what you were saying a minute ago about being in control, even when Jesus was indignant, he did not act like he was not a gentleman.
Yeah.
All he said was, do not hinder these children from coming to me.
Yeah. What you're saying is he didn't sin.
He didn't
sin.
No,
he didn't.
Yeah. He was careful in everything he did.
He never sinned.
He was a lamb without spot or blemish. And he had to be that way to be the covering for all, for his death and blood and his resurrection.
Mm-hmm. So there's a little promise here I don't want to miss, because we've been talking about a lot of things, but this one says that they may lead people astray with signs and wonders, if possible, even the elect. So there's this group called the elect that, if possible, they could lead them astray. It's saying that there is a protection here in all of this picture for God's elect. And that is big, big promise.
Wouldn't you say that the elect do all the do's, all the five do's,
yep,
and don't do all the don't do's?
They are doing what they're supposed to do and not doing what they're supposed to do.
So there's nine things. Nine is the Spirit.
Yes.
So in other words, they're walking in the Spirit.
Right.
But you're not supposed to know that at this level.
But there's the elect. It's the group that's going to not be able to be deceived.
And these are things that even the four of us maybe have 50-some years to 10, 15?
Like around 15.
About 15 years in this group of people, 50 to 15 years, we're still fighting these fights, you know, with, and the battle is, it's always you. It's what, it's not my neighbor, it's not my wife, it's not my kids, it's me. These are things that we have to not be ignorant of. We have to pay attention to the do's and pay attention to the do nots, that we don't do them and turn away from them, really.
Because it says in here you have to endure until the end.
So I don't have to worry about Andy. I don't have to worry about Steve. How about you, Jordan? I don't worry about Jordan. I have to worry about me. And that's, and I think everybody in this room that's doing this has that same attitude. It's something where we try to our best, you know, we work at, and it's not something you let your guard down.
I was talking to a neighbor one time, and she was asking me some questions, and I said, well, there's one thing here that you probably haven't heard, and I'm going to warn you before I say it, so just hold on to your seat, okay? And she goes, okay. And I said, it says that you're supposed to work out your own salvation. And I said, you've heard that before. And she said, yes. I said, now the last part I want to tell you, and now hold on, it's with fear and trembling. And she pulled her head back and goes, well, why do you have to fear and tremble? And I go, but because people are not taught that. They're just taught to work out their own salvation, take the fear and trembling part of it and throw it away. But God has that in there. And I warned her. I said, some words are coming now. Be careful.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. It cleans us up. When you fear something, it keeps you from just jumping in with both feet and getting all dirty.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's part of a person's makeup, that God makes us that way when we follow him, that we understand that. But she was frightened when I told her. She literally backed up.
So you're going to walk across the freeway, and the cars are coming, supposed to be 65, and they're all coming 80. You know, you're going to walk across it. If, let's say, a guy is several miles away, you're going to walk across that freeway if you see somebody. But if you don't see anybody, you might scurry across. But that's that fear that you're careful. You're really careful of everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not natural to guys. I think to little boys especially.
Oh, and there's actually work in this. There's energy that you have to push towards what you have been told to believe and do. It's not you do nothing and it happens for you. There's work that you have to do. There's energy you have to put forth, and you have to have the right attitude. All of these things are involved in God's faith.
Was there anything else that we wanted to bring out in this last part? It says to beware. I have told you these things beforehand. So we're also supposed to be wary or aware, not to go in with our eyes closed. We are to be alert. That'd be another scripture or another verse or way of saying that. What does your other translation say on verse 20? I think it's 23.
But as for you, see, I have told you everything in advance.
Open your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because for in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from the heavens, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then shall you see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. It's obviously, both scriptures show that he doesn't come until after the great tribulation. And there's no mention of a hiding place in this. The word rapture is a misused term. It's mostly wrong to want to be raptured. It comes from the Greek word harpazo, and like when you harpoon a whale. How many whales like to be harpooned? They don't like that one.
And not any living ones anyway.
Yeah.
Sure.
The word rape comes from harpazo. Everybody's eyes are big. And they harpazoed them and took them to jail. In I think it's found 33 times. I can't remember the amount of times it's found, but it's found numerous times, and it's only found a handful of times where it could be good, and only once is it found where Philip was caught away and caught in Aztos. All those times where it is good is where a person is picked up off the ground and put right back down again, not gone to another place, but just. Or gone to another place, but not the way they use it. It's never used in the scriptures the way the churches have used that for the last 100 years. It was never a doctrine before 150 years ago. It came because this woman saw this revelation and she was in kind of a drunken state in the church. And I don't mean drunken with wine, but she was in a books mm-hmm. about it. She was in a hallucinogenic type thing. She was having hallucinations. And they just liked this because it got them out of the Great Tribulation. They didn't read the rest of this telling us to beware and we are to flee. Because if we're going to be snatched away, you don't have to flee. And it was not saying that we flee from off the earth, but we flee from doing things. I think is really what the scripture is saying, that there's a way to prepare for this, but it's not to be getting a hallucinogenic, you know, situation where you're out of body experience type things. And if you ever seen people's eyes when they do that, it's almost like they're on drugs. When they do that in churches, you know, and their eyes roll back in their head and they see these things. Well, that's what happened in this church. And the church grabbed a hold of it, and then that's where that idea came from, and then they started building it, but it never came out of the scriptures. You could never prove it. As a matter of fact, the more you look at the Greek, the more you cannot. And these two, Matthew 24 and Mark, totally do not say the same thing. The Great Tribulation comes first, then the Lord returns.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, anything left? Then you'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and then shall he send forth his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds. So then he's going to gather them.
That's really clear.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty
from
nice thing
here. From the earth's end to the heaven's end. He's going to gather the people on the earth, all over the earth, from one end of the earth to the other, and the ones that have gone to be with the Lord already. That is so clear, it all happens afterwards. Please, if you don't see it the first time, maybe you have to read Matthew 100 times and Mark 100 times, and read them both, because they both say the same thing. If you do two, I believe it'll cement it for you.
It's a witness.
Isn't that funny when we kind of look at these both together side by side, they're saying the same things, and we want to be good servants and be faithful to what God says, not man. Mark 13:28, and finish it up to 37.
Now from the fig tree learned the parable. When her branch is now become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so, you also, when you see these things coming to pass, you know that it is near at the doors. Amen, I say unto you, that this race shall in no wise pass away until all these things be accomplished. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of the day or the hour knoweth no one, nor the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father. Look out, watch, for you know not when the season is. It is when a man sojourning in another country, having left his house and given authority to his bondman, to each his work, commanding also the porter to watch. Be watchful, therefore, for you know not when the Lord of the house cometh, whether at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or at morn, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch.
So there's a whole bunch of do's right here. Now it says, now from the fig tree, learn this. Take heed. So it says, learn the parable. So first thing we are to do in this context is learn, right? That's a do. Then it also says, watch in verse 33. And then it says, watch again in verse 34. Then it's in verse 35, be watchful, therefore. You know not what hour the Lord is coming. So now you got three watches. Do you think God means this? But I say unto all, and then what's the last word he says?
The fourth watch.
Watch.
Watch, 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 in about an inch on the page.
Yeah.
That's his last statement, too.
Yeah.
And this is the last statement about it.
Yes.
Watch, watch. Watch, be watchful, watch.
He says it four times in about 35 verses. He says that, watch. And be watchful. So we don't know the hour, but we are commanded to watch. So remember, there's a scripture too about sleeping. We're not to sleep. That's not saying you're not to go to bed and have your 8 hours of sleep. He's talking about sleep in your heart, or be asleep in your mind and not have God open your senses. Plus, it's found four times, and four is always the earth. The word four, mm-hmm. There's four corners of the earth, four winds of the earth. When it's talking about four, Ivan Pan noticed that, earth. So it's talking about while we are on this earth, we have to watch. And what are we supposed to watch? Things that are earthly, things that keep us down, that where mind is not set on the things above.
So there's an indicator here. When we said before that no one knows the hour and no one knows the day, but here Jesus says, watch when you know not the season. So now we're going to get a season involved.
Yeah. I think we're in that season,
the
don't
season.
You, to
yes.
watch?
Yes, I see what you were saying yesterday
when
we were doing this. It does go to a season.
Yeah.
Whatever a season, it goes to a season. So that is a specific time.
It might
a season
not be
starts.
The day or the hour, because we won't know that.
But it's the season.
Yeah.
Set your mind
on the things above,
on the things above,
and not on the things that are on the earth.
For you have died,
for you have died,
and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, seated at the right hand of God.
Set your mind
on the things above,
on the things above,
and not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died,
for you have died,
and your life is hidden with Christ in God, with Christ in God.
And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.